I'm Paul Wegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me by phone today is a longtime member and former board member of the Kent County Theater Guild, Mike Polo. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Paul. Nice to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us by phone. Kent County Theater Guild goes all the way back, I believe, to 1953. So more than a 50-year history. And I understand you've been part of a significant portion of that, both you and your parents. Let's go back to the beginnings of the Kent County Theater Guild to start, and then we'll sort of trace through history and come up to the present time.
Sounds like a good time. I guess the best place to start is at the actual beginning, and that was January of 1953. Three gentlemen got together, Dick Clark. Not that Dick Clark, another one. He was an English teacher at Caesar Rodney High School. Earl Scheidt was the school's art director, and Alan Hahn got together in Alan's kitchen and decided that Kent County needed a community theater. And they got in touch with a lady by the name of Shug Adlam, who was a well-known radio personality in Dover at the time, to be their first director. And by autumn of 1953, they had an organization. They held an organizational meeting over that summer, had about 30 people attend the meeting and decide that, hey, this is a really good idea. And so the next thing you know, they had a show. The first show was called Light Up the Sky. And it went on in the fall of 1953 at the Caesar Rodney High School, September 25th.
Now, when did Kent County Theater Guild move into its current space? I believe you call it the Patchwork Playhouse?
Oh, yes. In fact, I was young when we moved it. It was 1972, and the congregation at St. John's Lutheran Church was getting ready to build a new church. And they said, hey, you want the old one? We said, sure, we'd love it. And they said, okay, but you got to move it. So in 1972, we found a piece of property. We had already taken an option on a piece of property on East Roosevelt Avenue. And that summer, they picked up the old church, put it on a trailer, and drove it across the highway to East Roosevelt. There's a great picture in the Delaware State News of that move with the church building coming south on Route 13 and a radome moving north on Route 13, this huge dome in the other lane heading north. They were moving it from one base to another. Traffic in Dover was a little fouled up that day.
And you say that was 1972?
Yes.
Yeah. So the Patrick Playhouse has been there since then. And as a community theater, I mean, it started as the brainchild of this core group and then yeah. the 30-plus that were interested. Talk a little bit about community theater. What does that mean to be a community theater?
A community theater is, for the most part, an all-volunteer organization. At least ours is. There are occasional times when we will pay for a music director, for instance. That's an area of expertise that we don't have organically. So we may bring in a music director. But everything else is done by the volunteers, the people that know and love it. And it's not just getting up on the stage and doing your star turn and taking a bow. It's working backstage to bring in the sets and bring in the props. It's building those sets, finding those props, painting what's up on that stage. But there's so much more to being a part of that type of an organization when you have a building of your own. It's cleaning the toilets. I was chairman of the board 1 year, and before the show opened, we found that the Johns hadn't been cleaned. So there I was wearing a suit, down on my knees, scrubbing toilets. It had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the attitude that a good community theater will have. It's got to be done. And it's not a question of, you know, are you going to get the applause for it? It's a question of, can we continue to do what we do? And if that means scrubbing the toilets, that's what it means.
I was going to say, running a theater is a different animal than simply putting on a show.
Absolutely. There's so much more to it. Just the, you know, just taking care of the building and making sure the roof doesn't leak can be a full-time job sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're dealing with a building that's over 100 years old.
Right. So over time, how has Kent County Theater Guild recruited volunteers for all of those different kinds of tasks? As you say, not only the acting on stage, which, you know, gets that public recognition, but but the behind-the-scenes work, the building the sets and, as you say, cleaning the toilets.
Truthfully, we do a lot of begging. excuse me. The fact of the matter is that over the years, we've been, like I said, we've been around since 53, and over those years, we've tried about everything to get people in. We hold mixers, we hold fundraisers, and as part of our shows, we're on a constant recruiting pitch. You really like this? You want to do this? Well, come on out. There's a lot of, you don't want to be on stage? Hey, that's great. We love people that don't want to be on stage. Come on out, build a set with us and be a part of it. We've got room for everybody. And so we find ways to reach out. The social media that's come up and been available in the last couple of decades has been a real boost, because we can get the word out to people that don't necessarily know we're there. And that's been a huge help.
Now, I'm curious, we were talking off air, you've been sort of actively involved since the early 80s, 1980s. Do you have a core group that is, you know, sort of a fixture there that's been there for quite a while?
There are a lot of people that have been there for a while. I wouldn't necessarily call it a core group. I think the core groups tend to fluctuate. There is always a core group. There's a group of people that are getting things done,
right?
That are right at the heart of it. But it tends to change over time. People burn out. I know I took a break for a few years. I was burned out. I'm happily back. And it's something that once it does get in your blood, it never leaves. But as people go become a part of the organization and they take a greater interest in the organization itself, they begin to see things that need to be done, and they become a part of that, if you will, core group or management or whatever you want to call it. They become that. They take on additional responsibilities, and like any volunteer organization, we have folks that take a break because they're having children or they've changed jobs and the job responsibilities are much more, and they come back a few years later saying, now I've got the time to do this. This is great. And it's great to see them again.
Now, what's the range of people that are involved at Kent County Theater Guild in any given production or season?
Range, how do you mean range?
Age, background.
Well, it of course, in a lot of ways, it can depend on the shows that are chosen for the season. It can depend on a number of different things. But throughout the season, we have people that are involved from their teens all the way up to their 80s. Men, now, women, children, everybody works.
Now, as a volunteer organization, I would assume that your board is more of a working board. Do you have various committees? For example, how is the season selected, and then how do you go about, you know, holding auditions? How is that all done?
Well, the board indeed is a volunteer board. They are a working board. Many of them head up the various committees, everything from, as I've mentioned, building and grounds, which is a very important job when you have a 100-year-old building. But we also have a play reading committee that takes a look at the plays that will go on the approved list for the upcoming season. We have a publicity committee, of course. We have an event we call the Patchwork Whoopee on a monthly basis, which is a little 10-minute play festival. and we have a committee handling that. There's a lot that goes into it. As far as how we choose a season, once the play reading committee has selected shows that are deemed appropriate for the theater, I mean, there's a lot that goes into making that decision. It's not just, is this a good play? It's, can we do this play? I mean, we did Noises Off on our little theater, which is a two-story set that has mm-hmm. reverse, and it was not easy to do. Our stage is only about 22 feet wide, and it's only about 18 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
And now try to turn around a two-story set on that stage in less than 15 minutes. We actually our bar receipts were down for that show, by the way, because the audience sat in the audience in the auditorium and they watched the stage crew turn that massive set around.
Interesting.
It was a fun show.
Yeah.
But at any rate, we take a look at it to see whether we can do the show, whether it's something that our audience will accept. Once that decision is made, it goes on the list. If it is approved, then the approved directors within the organization are sent the list, and they get a chance to pick and choose which show they would like to do. Then the board sits down with all of the submissions from the directors and puts together a season. They try to make sure that we don't have two comedies back to back and then finish up with three dramas or something like
right,
that.
Right, sure.
That would be bad. So they want to balance the season out, accommodate the director's requests, and make sure that we're going to have something that the audiences will enjoy. And at that point, they set the dates for the shows as well. And then next step is auditions. We do an open audition. We don't precast. That is generally at the director's discretion how that's going to work out. If we're doing a musical, of course, there's going to be some singing involved. If you're doing a straight play, I personally, as a director, I prefer to do cold readings from the script, and others prefer a monologue. It all depends on the director at that
mm-hmm.
point.
Yeah. So the season is plays shows are selected, or a sort of a list of potential shows, and then directors mm-hmm. get to select which ones they're interested in doing, and then they shape out the season. Now, for the auditions, where do you find you draw the directors from, the actors from?
Directors are generally people that have been a part of the organization for a few years. They've worked with the organization. They know the way it works. They understand the responsibility of directing a show there, and they understand the responsibility because they are going to be, I'm using the word a lot, I'm sorry. I'm overusing the word responsible, but they are responsible for the building, the physical building
mm-hmm.
as well, when they're doing a show. There is a list of approved directors within the organization. As far as the folks that audition, they come from all over. I directed a show, Over the River and Through the Woods, a couple of years back. We had two gentlemen that were driving up from Lewis, the Lewis area, to do that show.
That's a significant commitment on their part.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's downstate theater. We tend to move back and forth between the theater groups down here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've commuted down to Possum Point in Georgetown. I've had several folks from there join us.
Mm-hmm.
We have a thriving community theater population down here. And what's wonderful about it is everybody feels comfortable moving back and forth as they find plays that they're interested in, or directors that they'd like to work with, or directors they'd like to work with again.
That's great. Yeah, sharing that talent. I want to continue this conversation, but let me first remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest joining us by phone today is Mike Polo, a current longtime member and former board member of the Kent County Theater Guild. Mike, I'm curious. You mentioned moving the building or establishing the building in its current location, 1972. Any other significant milestones through your more than 50-year history?
Well, shortly after we paid off the mortgage on the building we had to pay, of course, to have the building moved and then have a foundation put in, and so much of work goes into transforming a building into a theater.
Mm-hmm.
Once we had the mortgage paid off and got that burned, the board met and said, you know, this theater's a little too small. At the time, the bathrooms were one flight down, and the bar was two flights down, and mm-hmm. the basement was completely unfinished, no dressing rooms, no nothing. And they said, we need more room. We need the bathrooms up on the auditorium level. We need the bar up there. We can't have people going up and down the stairs. The Americans with Disabilities Act had just been passed. We had no handicapped access at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So they got together with an architect and designed an addition. We still have that beautiful old church auditorium, but it has now been encased in with a large lobby, bathrooms for the public up on that level, some storage space, and a handicapped accessible ramp that is indoors.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was an award-winning design.
Mm-hmm.
I've forgotten the organization that gave us the award, but you can come in the front door and go up the steps to the ticket counter, or you can turn to the left and there's a ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it much easier to get up to that level.
Yeah, very welcoming, lobby.
Yes, it is.
Now, the theater, Patchwork Playhouse, is situated in what I would describe as a residential community. How are the neighbors?
The neighbors have been wonderful to us. They look out for us. We will occasionally get a phone call and say, you know, somebody left the lights on or something happened. When our parking lot in back is full, and it's a very small parking lot, we will, of course, our patrons will take up spaces on the street, and the neighbors are wonderful in putting up with that for us. There's a couple of businesses on the street as well. If we have a large cast, they will allow us to park those cars in their business parking lot. And that way, our parking lot and the street parking is all available for our patrons. So we get along very well.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, we have a few minutes left. I don't want to neglect your current season and the work that Kent County Theater Guild is doing this year.
Well, let's see. The current season, I've got to refresh my memory, so bear with me for just a second. I know that the next show coming up is a very small musical called The Last 5 Years. Kevin Smith is directing it, and it is a rather unique musical in that there are only two people in it, and they are exploring their relationship. It's a man and a woman. They are exploring their relationship, but they're doing it from different directions. One is going backwards in time as we're watching the show, and the other is going forward.
Interesting.
And there is only one point in the play, from what I understand, where they're both on stage at the same time interacting.
Wow. Huh.
So it's a rather unique show. I've not been around for rehearsals yet. I understand from the director that it is going extremely well. They're very happy. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing that. That opens on May 10th. We do five performances of shows over the course of 2 weekends. We do a Friday, Saturday night performance at 8 o'clock, and then a Sunday matinee on opening weekend at 2 p.m., and then we come back the following weekend and do Friday and Saturday again. So The Last 5 Years is opening May 10th. The next show after that will be Red, White, and Tuna, which is a side-splitting comedy. We've done a couple of the Tuna series over the years, and those are absolutely hysterical. It is, in the way that we usually do it, it is four gentlemen playing multiple roles, both male and female, and the entire story takes place in a lovely little village called Tuna, Texas. And I've had the pleasure to be in two of those, And I can tell you without giving anything away about Red, White, and Tuna, because I don't want to do that. I mean, this is a show I heartily recommend that you just come see and experience and be prepared to laugh hysterically. That one goes up in July. It opens on July 12th. The rest of the season is another comedy, Boeing, Boeing. And we close out the season with Every Christmas Story Ever Told, and then some, which opens in December 6th. Excuse me. And that is described as an adult comedy.
Okay. So a very interesting series. And then I see, I'm looking at, I see you recently back in February did a production of Savannah Sipping Society.
Oh, yes.
Which features women. So
yeah.
I'm familiar with that piece as well. So a very interesting selection of comedies and the musical last 5 years. Mike, I mean Kent County Theater Guild. It's a charming little space. I've seen shows down there. It's a very intimate theater. We've got about a minute left. Any final words? Before we forget. Our listeners can learn more about Kent County Theater Guild and your season and your tickets at www.kctg.org for Kent County Theater Guild. Any final words in the 40 seconds or so we have left?
I encourage everybody to drop by that website, buy a ticket, come see a show. Check that website frequently, join us on Facebook, learn as much as you can about the organization, and we'd especially like to see you at an audition. Come out, join the fun. We have a lot of fun.
And as you said, Mike, your opportunities not only to be on stage, but also work backstage, work helping with the facility itself. Mike Polo from Kent County Theater Guild, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Paul.